Gang, we all know that Spotify has become the ultimate destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that all of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here, are now available on Spotify? Yes, millions of songs, thousands of podcasts. Go to Spotify.com or just download the app from the App Store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here. That's Spotify, the ultimate destination for music and podcasts. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you've all had a great week. I've had an interesting week. Yes, I have. It's been crazy. Crazy week, but I want to tell you guys real quick about a show that I'm going to be a part of this Sunday coming up. It's the Drakes Play the Beatles, and it's a benefit for Tom Gillum and Caroline Breedlove. It takes place this Sunday, August 19th at the 1 to 1 bar from 5 to 8 p.m. All Beatles songs all night. The Drakes will be the band, and they'll be joined by very special guest singers Tom Gillum, Stephen Doster, Guy Forsythe, Shelley King, Sela Misra, Jessica Forsythe, my man, Darren Murphy, Kelly McQuey, Jeff Botta, and me, Johnny Gowdy, Beth Lee, Penny Joe Pullis, and many other guest performers. There'll be a silent auction. You can win a guitar signed by all the performers. There's a $20 donation suggested at the doors, and all proceeds go to Tom and Caroline's medical assistance. You can find them at GoFundMe/Tom-Gillum-Caroline-Breedlove. Okay? All right. You can find this on Facebook. I'll post a link to it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. And come on out on Friday. It should be a really great show. I have a great show for you guys today. A great show. I met a new guy, Mike Schoenfeld. He's been playing around Austin for a few years, and he had been drinking a lot, having a good time, partying, not really paying attention to what was going on with his career. He got sober, and he made an EP, and it's beautiful. There's gorgeous, gorgeous songs on it. It's called Little Feet. It comes out next Thursday, August 23rd, and he's celebrating with a release show August 23rd. At Kitty Cohen's here in Austin, Texas. Go to his website, mlscho.com, all right? And get involved. Check out Little Feet. It's a great result of him being in recovery. He's a great dude. We have a great conversation. He's extremely interesting. His songs are absolutely gorgeous, all right? So anyway, me and Mike Schoenfeld chatting it up, coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, let me remind you guys that if you live in San Antonio, Skyrocket will be playing tonight at Sam's Burger Joint. We always have a good time out there. We start about 9:15 or so, 9:30, play till about 12-something. It's a long-ass show, but our projections are there. It's a great place to see the band. If you live in San Antonio, come on out, Sam's Burger Joint, tonight, Friday, August 17th, Skyrocket. I got sad news this week. I found out that Fitzgerald's in Houston is closing. If you listen to this show or you know anything about my history, I've been playing at Fitzgerald's since July 18th, 1988. And Sarah Fitzgerald decided to sell. And it's heartbreaking. I play there like once a month with Skyrocket. We're playing there next Friday, August 24th. If you live in Houston, come on out and see it. Might be the last time you get out to Fitzgerald's. I don't know exactly when it's closing its doors. I don't know if next Friday is the last show we're ever playing there. But I have a long history with Fitzgerald's. I played my first gig there July 18th, 1988, like I said, 30 years ago this summer. And the next year, I started a band called Panjandrum. We played our second gig there and had a talk with Sarah Fitzgerald, a guy named Chris Harkness, and a guy named Chris Smith, and they were starting a management company, and they managed my band, Panjandrum, for a couple of years. I played there all the time. I hung out there all the time. I lived four blocks from there. I used to hang out there all the time when I lived in Houston. I went there almost every day, a couple of times a day. Once during the day to see what was going on with the business. Once in the evening to have a cocktail, maybe meet a lady. Anyway, it's a sad, sad day. It's a sad, sad day for Houston music. Fitzgerald's has been open for 41 years. It's been going on since 1977. Stevie Ray played there. B.B. King played there. Buddy Guy played there. I played there 5,000 times. Saw tons of shows there. Fishbone, Soundgarden, a lot of just tons of shows. Ten Hands, those were big shows for me, the big Ten Hands shows. Fishbone, I said that. The Bone Daddies. Anyway, Fitzgerald's closing its doors after 41 years. Sad news, but Sarah made like $5 million on the deal, so I think she came out the winner. Speaking of winners, let's get to this conversation with my new friend Mike Schoenfeld, whose EP, Little Feet, comes out next Thursday, August 23rd, and he's celebrating with the release show Thursday, August 23rd at Kitty Cohen's here in Austin. Go to mlscho.com for all of your Mike Schoenfeld needs. Sit back or lean forward and enjoy my conversation with Mike Schoenfeld. Let's get down.
Said Memphis was like heaven when the sun set. You're right. And that muddy water's cleaner than your soul.
I'm very happy with this
person. You are?
No.
Right.
I'm getting there for sure. I mean,
you're working on it?
I've figured out how to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's going on? Before, you had a method of relaxation that I guess got out of control.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's what I read into your bio.
Yeah, I'm really leaning into the sobriety thing on this.
That's all right, man. It's a part of your life. It's
it is my story. Someone told me that the other day. I asked a friend of mine
are you exploiting your sobriety? Is that what you're worried about?
That's what I was worried about, for sure. And I was asking a friend, and she said, you know, you've just got to speak your truth, and it's you. And the thing is, when I was drinking a lot, I was public as shit about that.
Yeah,
so,
why not? Yeah.
Yeah, so why not be public about sobriety? But it also, for me, I mean, it's more in terms of, you know, the alcohol is a problem, but alcohol mostly for me was just getting in the way of me and everything that I wanted. So it's like, if I was going to address depression or anxiety or just try and be better at anything,
you couldn't really do it because you were...
I had to get that out. It was just this thing that I did. It was this thing that I woke up and did, and I did all
you
day.
You did drink in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you ever had a headache?
I have a heart. I mean, I drink.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue, but yeah. I mean, no, I have a hard time drinking. I mean, when I drink in the morning, I'm like in Cabo.
Yeah, of course. Vacations are perfect for that, and the beach, for sure. You know, with me, what it was...
That makes it seem like I'm in Cabo. That's
like
my
all
vibe.
The time.
No, we played a gig there last year, and I was like, oh, Bahamas, too. Okay, so if you put me in a foreign country and there's a beach and a swim-up bar...
Yeah,
hey,
the Bahamas is a great place to drink.
Yeah.
No, it was more like... I've kind of come to the realization that the root of most of my problems were always just needing satisfaction very quickly. There is a term for that that I just completely blanked on right now, but just instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And so if I woke up with a headache from the night before, instead of, you know, drinking a bunch of water and greasy food and waiting it out, I was fixing it with booze, and it kind of just perpetuated itself. I mean, that's not the only reason I drank ever, but that was a thing for sure.
Yeah.
But, it was, I needed to get that out to just try a different way. It's all about just trying a new thing. You know, I didn't get anywhere with the old way. So,
how long were you doing? Because you said there's some stuff you felt like an outsider here. I mean, I'll say this: I you've been here for a while. We were talking about '90s bands here in Austin.
No, man, I grew up here.
I also got to say, I got to give it up, man. You're an awesome guest. You came in and we got right into like shit that takes me like 30 minutes for someone to relax to get into. So thank you. You're the best guest I've ever had.
Well, I'm an open book is the thing, honestly. And I spent, you know, part of recovery is I spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I have to.
So how long, what do you, you're still new?
Oh, God,
fairly?
I'm 6 months in.
Okay.
I've been sober 6 months and in about 2 weeks now.
There's a calmness. I had, you know, Jeff Plankenhorn?
Uh-huh.
I had him in here It was, I think, less than 6 months, but man, he was, I mean, he was a raw nerve. He was an intense dude.
Yeah.
When he was here that time.
People come into this thing real differently, and I see a lot of that with sort of like the things that I do for myself and the people that I spend time with to kind of focus on this thing. And people come in different shape. Me, I was so tired of it.
Sick and tired.
I was so ready
to
go.
The cliche, sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's a real thing. That's why people say it so much.
Yeah, and every day that I wake up sober is like just a cool breeze on a sunburn. And it's just, you know, a lot of folks come in and it's like there's a lot of shame involved a lot of time in this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, it's just hard. Like one of the hardest things is how am I going to relate to anybody anymore? As a musician,
yeah,
everything you do, you're at a bar every night. And
yeah.
Like, how am I going to have fun anymore? How am I going to have conversations with people? It is scary for a second, but for me, it was just, I was very honest with myself about what I had before, and it was nothing. I didn't have anything. And I've been playing music in Austin for 15 years. No one knows who I am. Like, I was playing,
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. And then no one had, we did the Blackheart farewell party, and I was lucky enough to get on that bill because I've had a bunch of residencies there in the past, and they found a video that I guess a guy that played with me had put online from a couple years ago, a show we played on my birthday or something maybe, and I watched this video and was just mortified. It was horrible.
You were wasted.
I was drunk, and I was just not focusing. I was like looking at the mirror and trying to fix my hair and just having fun and just goofing around with everybody, but very unrehearsed and just sort of loose and not good. And I thought about calling and having them take it down, and it's a great reminder for me. Like, it's just a great reminder. Nothing that I've done in the last 6 months, even, like, it came quick, but none of this stuff that we just recorded would have been nearly as good if I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's great.
But it's fun. But I mean, now I'm here and I'm ready to start kind of getting into it and not, you know, you probably have felt this before. We can get really, I don't know, like, why the fuck doesn't anyone know who I am?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. I'm good at what I do. And no one knows.
That just happened to me a little, just a little while ago. I was looking at Instagram. Sarah Hickman posted a thing that said, "Oh, I got Eliza Gilkison. I've known Eliza Gilkison since I was fucking 11.
Yeah.
I've been asking her to come on this podcast the whole 7 years of this thing. I've never gotten around. She's on Sarah Hickman's podcast. She hasn't even put one out yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, now this is going to happen. She's going to get every cool guest I couldn't get. And that's going to be her show. Is literally going to be Sarah Hickman is going to be podcasting against me.
Yeah.
To keep me down. That still happens to me.
It's incredible.
But I can talk myself out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, once you get to a point where you recognize it and you know that it doesn't help anything.
Yeah, she's not my enemy.
And we talk a lot, you know, we talk a lot about not getting attached to outcomes. And so when I started this EP specifically, I went into it. My initial idea for it had this sort of toxic underlying intentions.
Which were?
Well, so I wrote this song, Little Feet.
Right.
Probably, I wrote it in like 2004.
I saw that, yeah.
And I've never recorded it before, and people love it. And I remember when the Harvest Thieves started playing it. You ever heard those guys?
Yeah.
Great guys.
They
Corey
covered
Reinish
you?
Is one of
That's
my greatest
cool.
buds, yeah. And they recorded that years and years ago, and I kept hearing it on Sun Radio and stuff. And people would call me and say, "Who are the Harvest Thieves? Why are they playing Little Feet?" And I would play it, and people would ask me if it was a Harvest Thieves cover. And so I had this idea, like, I wanted my ball back. And the idea was, so I'm going to put it on an EP and then put some other songs on it, and then they're going to play my version of this song on Sun Radio or whatever the hell. And I realized
pretty
quickly...
They're not going to because they already played that song.
Yeah, who knows? Well, one thing is like, two things can happen in that situation. One, they do play my version, and
right.
they stop playing the Harvest Thieves version, which is horrible because those guys did me a huge favor
yeah,
by
you're real
playing
mean.
That song. They're incredible friends to me.
Yeah.
And I want I just want the world for them. I think they're incredible people. And then two, they could listen to it and be like, well, the other version is better. We don't want to play yours anyway.
I'd say go with a different single.
Well, I don't even know what... Yeah, and the whole thing was I realized I've got other songs on this thing that I like better than yeah. Little Feet, you know?
Yeah.
And I just... I like having it on there because I finally did a version. And getting this far from when I wrote it, we were able to put something different down that's like a completely new take on the thing. And it doesn't have a train beat on it for the first time ever, you know?
So I'm tired of train beats.
You know, they've got...
I shouldn't They've say that because you know I've been trying to get I've been trying to get Rhett on the show from Old 97s.
Rhett that, Miller.
That's a career of just train beat band. I mean, I don't think they have a choice. They have to do it.
Well, there's something about
their thing. No, actually, you know what? I heard a song that they did. Did you hear their last album?
No, gosh, I've barely dipped in. I just started listening to music again 6 months ago.
So, you 15 years just of, how long were you drinking?
Probably about 20 years.
Okay.
I mean, I started a little bit, I didn't start till I started, you know, got out of the house. I was a pretty, like, I was a religious kid, youth group kid in high school. So I drank maybe twice in high school and got real sick both times. It was 20 years, but it didn't get as depressing until later, you know, because everybody drinks in college. It's fun. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're young and you can bounce back really quickly. But it just, you know, in the end, it just was in between me, like I said, and everything that I wanted. So it was just kind of like it amplified all the bad habits that I'd picked up growing up.
You know,
it was always real easy for me to bullshit my way through anything. And I have this huge chip on my shoulder regarding authority. So I took a homework assignment as an affront, you know, like as an attack on my personal freedom, my liberty. And I just would not do that shit.
Yeah.
There was a time in high school where I didn't do a lab report that was due. And I think, like, I went to the principal and told the principal that I had done it and turned it in. And then 2 days later, I did it and hid it under my teacher's desk and just happened to come upon it.
You
it
were the
like,
one that
I
found
showed
it.
You. Yeah. It's probably the dumbest
wow, thing
that's
I've a, ever
that's
done.
That's
a lot
life.
Of work for nothing.
A lot of work
for no
nothing,
reason.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have just done it and.
Yeah, that was
or
high
just
school
said, like, oh, here it is.
Oh, man.
Or really, to make the whole thing, you got to let him find it when you put it into the desk.
This woman, I can't remember her name, but I don't know why I thought she was so mean. She probably was very sweet.
She probably gave you a homework assignment.
Yeah, exactly. No, I figured out, I remember senior year, second semester, I figured out exactly the lowest grade I could possibly get on every final to still graduate. And that was, I nailed it. I hit like a 69, 72. There was one class where I could get like a 58, and I think I got a 63 on my final. It was one of them I think I didn't even finish. I just was like, all right, I'm there.
Where are you from here?
Yeah, I'm from Austin. I was born here, I think when I was born in Brackenridge. My folks lived up off Airport.
Okay.
And then ultimately my dad built a house in Rollingwood.
Where's that? I know where it is. I know the
just
name.
Just stop, like, Bee Cave.
Right, okay,
like,
okay.
If you just turn
I know
off,
you're talking
go down
about.
Bee Cave, sort of before you get to Westlake. And then when I was in fourth grade, we moved to Ithaca, New York. I guess my dad and family got in some financial shit after the savings and loan stuff in the 80s.
Okay.
And my grandfather died and left some land in Ithaca, New York. We went up there and my dad built houses on it. And we'd live in one house. Like, he'd build a house, we'd live in it. He'd build another one. We'd sell the one we were in and move to the next one. And
like
that was like 4 years. Yeah. It was really cool, actually. I mean, it was beautiful up there. And it was culture shock for sure, coming from Westlake.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That must have been
weird. But in a good way, you know, like a really... I'm
How long were you there?
4 years. And then Jacksonville, Florida for about 9 months. And then back to Austin. And we lived out in Cuernavaca in a house that some... missionaries owned. It was a house that was put together from a bunch of different houses.
Yeah.
So all the materials were real mismatched. It was cool.
Is that like the 90s or something?
That would have been in Yeah, early 90s. I graduated high school in 97 from Westlake.
Okay.
So
that's where Grissom lives up there on Cuernavaca.
Oh, it's a good area.
I probably shouldn't say where he lives.
I don't recognize it now. Say the address.
No, I shouldn't.
Social security number. Do you want mine? You asked for my social.
I'm gonna
social
need your
earlier.
Social. Yeah, I also need your bank account information because if you can help me, I'm actually an African prince.
Okay. Yeah, well, that won't get you very far, Prince. So we were back here, but I've been here a long time. I was playing golf. This is my name dropping. I was playing golf with Peter Blackstock the other day, pitch and putt.
And he plays golf?
He plays pitch and putt. He's good. We had a good time. And
you guys go and play golf together?
We just did the other day.
But you went together? You didn't just run into him there?
No, we went. Okay. We went because I know he likes to do it. He goes out after South By with some guys. They have a big group that goes out every year after South By. I knew he liked it, and I remember talking to him about it. So I just shot him a note and said, "Do you want to go?" And I tried to bail on him, too.
That's kind of a weird thing to do.
Well, you know what? He gave me a maybe. And so when I woke up, I realized it was real early and I wanted to go back to sleep. And I told him I wasn't going to go. And he's like, "Well, damn, I was just about to leave." So I got up. That was just me sabotaging myself by waffling. But we had fun. But we were talking about sort of levels of Austinite. I was thinking about a friend of mine who's from here, but she lived closer into town, like more central, so maybe she's a little more Austin than I am. I think because we were talking about the Frisco shop shutting down.
Yeah.
I only went there once in my entire life.
I used to go there with Todd Wolfson, who I was singing the song to.
Todd? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great song. Are you going to sing that on the podcast?
No, I can't.
Damn it.
They'll know who they are, and people will be like, "Hey, come on, man.
That's true.
I thought you stopped doing that in 2001, bro." everyone from the 90s has this weird, like, kind of sad tone to their voice. Come on, bro. I told you not to do that anymore.
I like the 90s.
So you graduated in 97. So yep. What are you, like, 39, 38?
Yeah, I'll be 40 next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's pretty good, man.
I didn't think, honestly,
you didn't think you'd make it?
I did not, and there's a lot of people that feel the same way.
Did you also do drugs?
When I could, but never as a problem.
You weren't like a gradual guy, and then one night you're real drunk, and someone says, like, "No, you can drive home if you just do this blow," and you're like, "Oh, yeah, this is amazing."
No, not really. You know, it's just so easy and cheap to get alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the stuff, like, I was never, you know, pot has always been a thing, but I kind of stopped when I moved. I lived in Montana for a little bit. When I came back to Austin, smoking was different. Smoking pot in the mountains is one thing. Smoking pot in your living room is another.
Yeah.
And I just kind of got, I was over it.
Got weirded out.
And, you know, the drinking was just so much easier and socially acceptable. And I don't know, there's dabbled in other things, but never anything that, like, I real fun.
Right.
You know, someday I'll figure heroin out. We'll see. It sounds really great.
So did you get into you said you got in recovery. Did you go to rehab?
No, man.
You quit. You woke up one day and you're like, "I'm not going to drink anymore." And that's what you did. That's what you do every day. You wake up and you say, "I'm not going to drink today."
Well, honestly, I don't have to even. And at this point, it just kind of does it itself. I don't know. I spend a lot of time in talking with folks and going to meetings and stuff like that. But no, it was last year was 2017. I was, I think that's when rock bottom was, like at South By last year. I spent 10 days straight just kind of drunkenly showing up places. I had a bunch of shows and I was drunk through all of them. And I was working with a manager at the time, and afterwards she called me up and just said, "Hey, you know, people don't want you to come and play anymore." And I don't know how many people there were, but even just one bar that says, "No, this guy's a problem," that's a problem.
Problem because you were drinking.
Yeah, just being drunk and, you know. And she said, I can't work with you anymore if you're going to drink still. And so I said, okay, I won't. And I white-knuckled it for about 5 weeks, just locked myself out at my folks' house out in Dripping Springs and just didn't drink and got sick and was alone and hated myself. And then I did the thing that everybody does where you one night think, I'll just have one beer, and you have a beer and it's fine. And the next night you have two. And then the next night I'm on my motorcycle going 115 down 45 with no helmet on in the dark. So I kind of went back in, and they call it doing research, I guess. I did that, and then
I'll go back and check it out, see how it's doing.
Yeah, and then
sorry, that's a good, I'm not laughing. No, at this, I'm just laughing. At that's a great. Thing is, that's a great word is, for it.
It's not like
research.
It's not like it's not funny, you know. And I guess it's not, but I have to laugh about some of this stuff. Levity is important for me. Levity keeps me sober a lot of days, you know. Just being able to laugh at how serious I used to take my own feelings and just kind of, God, how ridiculous I acted. But she had told me, you know, we're not going to work together anymore if you keep drinking. And I stopped for a while, and then I started again and kind of lost my mind a little bit. Just kind of went into some weird paranoid me against the world stuff and ended up very isolated. And
she left.
You know, honestly, I, looking back on it, I don't even know exactly how things went.
We've not talked to her since.
Oh, we, you know, she shows me all the grace in the world and is so kind to me now. And I just love every time I see her, I get a big hug. So yeah, we talk all the time, but
she believes in you.
We're not working together, but yeah, I think she does. I mean, I think that I think most people.
I know that's an important feeling that people don't really talk about a lot. Sometimes you can work with someone,
yeah,
who thinks they can get whatever, but they don't feel you.
Oh, and you know? I don't think that, you know, I think that us not working together right now is more because, you know, she's super busy, and honestly, if she said I didn't ever want to work with you again, but I love you as a friend, I would completely understand that. But that's another reason that I had to be real open about sobriety, is because I needed people to know that I'm have recognized this shit and that I'm working on it.
Mike 2.0.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I would say for sure. And just in time to turn 40, I mean, I feel good. It's like I was looking at my hands the other day and just thinking, these hands don't look 40. They feel 40 sometimes.
I'm almost 50, so I guess I'm like 10 years older than you.
Yeah, but I would guess you were younger. You look
Thanks.
Like a young man.
I appreciate you that. Well, I'm not, but I see not my hands, like when I was in the Bahamas a few weeks ago, I was drunk and I was with my friend and I was like, look, my hands look like my grandma's did when I was a little kid, and I would look at her hands and I'd be like, ooh, look, old lady hands. And I'm like, I've got old lady hands. They're all spotted and wrinkly.
Well, the rest of you is spring chicken.
Thank you. That's what I'll just, my hands are like, and the rest of it's like the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah, I can be all over the place. Either way, I got, I don't know, December rolled around and it was so old, you know. I was just so, it was so old. And I kind of talked to some people and got into going to the meetings and stuff. And then I started this thing where it was like Friday would come around and I would decide I could drink for the weekend and then just.
Really?
Yeah, it was real weird. You know, that controlled drinking just doesn't work. You know, we talk about this a lot. Most people don't have a problem with alcohol.
Right, yeah.
Most people just don't. Most people wake up with a hangover and think, God, I'm not going to do that again. And
yeah, that's what.
It'll be a month before they drink again, or some people a year.
Yeah.
And
me, it's a few weeks, but.
So, yeah, I tried that, but I think just early in the year after just, go, you know, 4 days off, 5 days on, and then after just one particularly embarrassing and just sort of sad weekend, I woke up on a Monday and just, I'm done. It's over. That's that. And I went into a meeting, and I went to a meeting every day for the next 45 days, probably two or three a day. And did everything that everybody told me to do. And now I am back to raging against the machine and arguing everything. But that's, you know, that's part of what keeps me sane.
Oh, yeah. First, you went and you humbled yourself, and now you're like, wait a minute, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
You have a good sponsor?
No, I don't have one.
Sponsorless.
Yeah, I'm just...
Think that makes a difference? I know some guys that's really helped out.
There are a lot of different... Well, there's actually not a lot of different ideas. I mean, most people will tell you, you do it, you do the steps, you do the sponsor thing, or else you're going to end up drinking again. You're going to relapse. It's not going to work for you. I'm more of the take what works for you.
Sure.
And I...
Again, you know, everything is is not going to work for everyone.
If I get, you know, if I tell somebody what's going on with me and they say, well, you really ought to do this, or you ought to do this, or look into doing this, because everything is a suggestion except for the not drinking part is really, like, that's the main thing. You got to not drink if you want to fight this thing.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is a suggestion, and it does work. And I've watched it work, and I truly 100% believe in it. I wake up every day and I feel good, and I don't have a compulsion to drink.
Does it feel weird getting out and playing? Does it feel weird going into a bar and playing?
I get nervous.
Oh, you do?
I used to never get nervous. I didn't have it. I think one of the reasons I didn't get nervous is maybe I just wasn't in a place to even give a shit about what I was doing.
Now you do.
But now, yeah, I really do.
Now you got this record, Little Feet.
Yeah, I do got a record.
It's not that. Little Feet, like the band. It's Little Feet, like a person's feet.
Yeah. I love that song. I get tired of playing it, but I love it so much.
You put two versions on the SoundCloud thing. Is there two versions on the record?
Yes. Yeah, we put the acoustic version on there. Just because...
You have a lot of feelings for that song.
Yeah, I do. I try and act cool. I try and act cool about it.
I get tired of playing it, but I put it on my new EP twice.
No,
there's only six songs on my record. Yeah, two are on the same one.
I absolutely love it. It's a... Well, one, I mean, people... I had never done anything that people... It just resonates with folks. You know, I have a lot of people that will tell me that's their favorite song. And these are people who have heard Beast of Burden, you know? They've heard better songs. They've heard Born to Run.
I like that Beast of Burden was the first go-to, like, greatest song ever
written. Well, I was thinking of it. Someone told me a few weeks ago that they had never heard Beast of Burden, and I wondered how they knew that it existed without ever hearing it. I was having that conversation with my dad. It came on when I was driving him somewhere the other day, and I said, yeah, someone told me they'd never heard that before. And he thought the same thing. Well, how they even know it existed? That is a great song, though. If someone told me it was their favorite song, I would not question
that. Wasn't there a Tina Turner version?
Probably. There should be a Tina Turner version of it.
He's in the video.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think so.
Well, yeah. I love Tina Turner.
Also. You do?
I think she should be in a lot of videos. Just, I love... When would that have been, like, the... If she did Beast of Burden, it would have been in, what, the early 80s?
It would have been after... Oh. No, it wasn't Tina Turner. It was Bette Midler. I'm pretty sure.
Same thing.
Someone out there, Google that right now. Call us at be the 12th caller at 555.
Man.
Call me.
Bette Midler. That's
I
hilarious.
Think, yeah, that's what it is.
That's rock. That's real rock and roll. Right
and then
there.
They do like a dance off. Her, and it's okay. Just real weird.
That sounds
it's like gratuitous
fun.
'80s stuff.
Well, Mick, he has like a sort of like lame dad in him for sure. Like, there's some lame dad Mick Jagger stuff.
Oh yeah, that's weird that you say that, because there was this thing called Being Mick, and it was like an ABC special like 10 years ago, and there was this thing of him where he was like, I go to watch my son play cricket, and when I was a kid, I used to play cricket. My dad used to sit there and yell at the coach and yell at me the whole time, and I'm not going to be that kind of dad. And they literally show him, like, in a blanket on the sidelines going, hey, you can't do that! You can't do that! And he's, like, being exact, and his dad's, like, real old next to him. Yeah, anyway, Mick Jagger.
I like that guy.
He is a lame dad.
Yeah.
He used to yell at the coach's dad. So What's this place, Kitty Cohen's?
Oh, Kitty Cohen's.
How do I not know this place? I've heard the name.
So the folks that own the Blackheart opened this bar probably, it had to be in 3 years ago, and it was called 2211, and they went through and did sort of like a rebranding, and it's called Kitty Cohen's. A lot of the staff from the Blackheart are there. It's, I wanted to do Kitty's because, one, I
owed them a good show.
Well, I've never, they don't have a lot of live music.
Oh, okay.
But for me, it was more about it being fun.
Yeah.
Doing an EP. I have a lot of friends that are in the middle of planning stuff like this too, and there's a lot of stress involved with where are we going to have it, and how are we going to get people there. And I just realized that the whole point of this EP was to say, this is who Mike is right now.
Yeah.
This is where he's at. And I just thought, if I am doing the old shit that I used to do, which is stress about sort of like status, and if I don't get to do it at the Mohawk or someplace awesome, that I was going to end up feeling kind of shitty about it. Plus, I mean, honestly, I don't know how I would have gotten into any place like that anyway. So I just went into Kitty's, and I just thought this would be really fun to do here. So we're going to do it in there. They've got a pool. I'm going to have some friends come and display some art and stuff. We might cook some dogs or something and just have a party. And then Trish is going to sing with me.
Trish who?
Trish from Trish in the Yearwoods. It's
is that a band?
Well,
wait, not no, that's a
so Trish is a Trish is a baton twirling champion out of Corpus Christi, Texas, who is a very eccentric young woman.
That's just that just in itself, just that description.
Trish is a
baton twirling champion from Corpus Christi, Texas.
I saw Trish in the Yearwoods perform during South by at the Ginger Man, and it was the sort of it took me so far out of everything that was going on and just put me in a place that I hadn't felt in a long time, which was just pure joy. Like, I was watching this performance and it was just pure joy. They're singing like Shania Twain and they're singing Fancy, and Trish is just a riot. She's a trip. And so I had to get in touch with her, and I started reaching out in all different ways that I could, and I finally just shot her like an Instagram message, and she called me 5 minutes later, and we talked for an hour about just life and stuff, and I just said, I want you to come and do this show. So
they're opening for you guys?
She's going to sing some songs with us at the end of the show. She's going to close it out, because like, Trish really is the star of this thing.
All right.
But that's another fun thing about it, is that, you know, I've got this sort of like, it's my party mentality, and I just want to have fun, and it doesn't have to be all about me. It's really just I just want to have a good time, and I just want to feel good about what I do.
Yeah. So Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Thursday, August 23rd, Kitty Cohen's, Austin, Texas. Go to myshow.com, and the way that my show is spelled is M-I.
Oh, that's an L, actually. M-L show.
Jesus.
M-L-S-C-H-O.
M-L. M-L-C-H-O. M-L-C-H-O.com.
M-L-S-C-H-O. M-L-show.com.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I forgot the S. I was all excited.
No, the S is the most important part because it's how my last name starts.
Yeah. Is it Schoenfeld?
Yeah.
Schoenfeld or Schoenfeld?
We say Schoenfeld. I think it's super Americanized. I think in German it's like Schoenfeld or Schoenfeld.
Oh.
But no one wants to say that.
Yeah. Who's the lady yelling at you in the website?
Oh, it's a woman we hired to be in those pictures.
To yell at you?
That was a couple years ago. I had this idea. I was going to make a record. And I called Rec Apologize Repeat.
Yeah, that was a great name, by the way.
I like that name.
Fucking awesome.
Maybe someday I'll use it again. I mean, there is a song called Rec Apologize Repeat. But,
I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's just kind of like that picture. The idea was, you know, just kind of how I felt a lot of the time. Just It's the That's picture a story is of my a lady life. Yelling at me. Yeah. She's just yelling at me and I'm just smirking, like ignoring it completely. But that was before I realized that, you know, every time anybody has ever yelled at me, it's been my fault. So that's okay.
Yeah.
I get yelled at a lot less recently. Like almost never, to tell you the truth.
Now that you're not nothing to yell at you about.
Not causing anybody problems.
That's good.
Yeah, it's
fun. Do you have some kind of work job?
You know, right now I'm not doing a lot. I worked in real estate for like 13 years. I wanted to be a teacher and got out of school right when the economy kind of went to shit in like 06, and ended up working in the office for a real estate company out in Dripping Springs and just stayed on. So I've done a bunch of development stuff, but no, I haven't been working much this year.
That's good.
You know, it's been good for my brain to an extent, but I also kind of don't, you know, I'm not getting the socialization that would be nice to have. But I'm, you know, the thing is I'm coming back into all of it. I'm coming back into all of it. And I'm not rushing anything. I'm able to be patient. Everything's going to work out. I trust that. So it's fun. It's fun. What do I say? This machine runs on goodwill.
Oh, that's good.
That's my new saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you planning on doing some other shows after that? People can go to mlscho.com. to find out your show dates, but there's just one listed on there right now, and that's the
Ray Show. And it took me 2 hours to figure out how to put that on there. But we're gonna play with the Western Youth is releasing a record in September on the 21st.
I work with the Awesome Music Foundation. They're part of our artist development
Graham
program.
Said that y'all met the other day. We're gonna open up.
I had breakfast with them at Indios.
Graham is one of my closest, most amazing friends.
He's a good songwriter, man.
He's incredible. He's one of my heroes.
That band's real good.
And he's the only guy I've ever written a song with. So
really?
Yeah, I don't co-write.
What about Jamie Harris? I saw Jamie and Jane sing on your
they
record.
Sang.
They sang on mine,
they
too.
Sang on Little
on my EP, too.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have anyone else sing with you?
I don't know.
It'd be pointless. They're so good.
Well, now I got to find, because they're not here for my release show. So I got to find other people.
Yeah, Jamie's not.
I got to find...
Jamie
both
is
of them
not around. Is Jane
messed
out of
me
town?
Over? I don't know what she is. What she is?
They owe us. They should be here.
They
for
owe
us. They owe us. They need
Jamie
to
Harris,
here.
Jane. I haven't seen Jamie in a while. I haven't talked to her. I haven't talked to her in a long time.
She's been traveling a lot.
I know.
She's a lovely human being and a good friend to have.
Yeah.
She's really legitimately interested in how people are doing, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's real cool.
And me
Jane
too,
is
Mike.
Fantastic.
Me too.
Yeah, I can tell that you are.
All right. Well, I didn't. Wouldn't have had to tell you.
I didn't say that you weren't.
Jane is fantastic. I'm very close to both of them. I love them very, very much. They're good people, good souls, funky chicks. What else? Oh, Matt Parmenter. Love that dude.
Yeah,
he's fun.
Great.
Must have been fun to work with. He was
really
on the show.
Really fun to work with, and really it was the most interesting studio time that I've really ever had, because we took it really easy and I didn't really try and orchestrate anything. I brought in the people that I know and that know me, and just kind of said, feel out the song and play what you feel.
That's why we didn't put
there's not really a producer on the record. If I had to pick a producer, it would be Nick Gardner, the guitar player.
From listening to it, that guy had some good notes.
Everything
nice
that he did sort
good
of...
Good job, Nick.
Yeah. I think what Matt said repeatedly is, man, this guy is tasteful.
Tasteful, yeah.
And it's, you know, to have a guy that can come into the studio and really... be the backbone of something without overpowering it.
Yep.
Is just, yeah, he's a great dude. I was glad we were able to get him because he had broken his jaw and he had to have his mouth wired shut for about 5 weeks. And I was afraid he wasn't going to make it.
But he still fit a little.
Yeah, he did. He came in with a swollen face and obviously in a little bit of pain, but he was cool.
Great job.
Yeah, he's good. All those guys are good. It was really
It's mixed really well too. If Matt, if you're listening to this, good job. If you're not listening to this, you should listen to my show. You're a jerk. I don't know why I'm so feisty today. I woke up early today and I went on the Dudley and Bob show.
Oh, that's
I think
funny.
That always puts me in a certain mood.
They still have a show, huh? That's been a long. Well, I just I don't listen. I haven't listened to the radio in so long, and they have been doing that show. You know, we're talking
I played,
about Austin.
I played their 25th anniversary last year.
They've been doing that show for so long. 20, it's incredible.
26 years next week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been going on there for 25 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, since 93, I've been going on there.
It's got to feel like home.
It does very much feel like home. I walked right in and immediately started arguing about something with them. On the air. So, yeah, it worked out.
That's perfect.
Yeah, they're good guys, man. All those guys. And Matt, also, Matt is like, they've always had like different producers and stuff and a different third person. Mm-hmm. And Matt, when they added him as the show thing, like he was a guy I knew in the 90s, was part of that. Do you remember that show, Austin Stories?
I do.
It was
because,
an MTV show.
Howard Kramer.
Howard Kramer. Yeah, him and Howard. That was him and Howard's show. You know Howard?
I don't know him. Oh. I listened to his podcast.
Oh, the Who Charted?
Who Charted,
He's been on the show. We're old friends from back then,
The guy is, he's a trip.
He's fucking hilarious. He's one of my favorite funny people that there is. He is legitimately one of the funniest people.
He can't stop. No. It's really amazing. I love it. He seems a little bit touched, like a little insane, and it's perfect. It works.
I think what happens to people in Texas is they're just not really around East Coast Jews.
Yeah.
You know, like I lived in Miami and stuff. So like you meet people like, God, where is that guy from? You're like, what, you never met like a Jew from the East Coast? That's exactly what they're like.
Yeah.
They're like, everything is a problem. When you ask them how they're doing, they don't go great. They go, you know.
That was, we were talking about that culture shock moving to Ithaca. I mean, it was just like.
Oh, yeah.
It was. There were people that weren't white people. That was like the weirdest thing in the world to me. Like all of a sudden I'm surrounded by not just rich white people.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
It
felt good.
Yeah, it does feel good. It's interesting when you go in those cultures because you realize like I'm Cuban. And like when regular white people walk into my grandma's house, like, it smells different. Like you go to an Indian person's house, they're like their family's house. Like you have an Indian friend and you go to their mom's house or something. It smells different. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they use different kind of products and there's, you know, Cuban houses smell like pine saw, garlic, and Cuban coffee. Like that's what a Cuban person's house smells like. Like some kind of cleaning product that's real harsh that you wouldn't use in this day and age. Some kind of poisonous thing. Anyway, yeah, that's always an odd thing. Like having that house when people come in, they're like, where's your mom from? Like Cuba, you're like, where is that? Because I mean, I'm older than you and like Cuba wasn't cool. Until like Buena Vista Social Club, so people didn't even know where it was. They just knew they were communists in Scarface.
Yeah.
And that's it, yeah.
I just started smelling again.
You did?
Yeah.
Did the smell, drinking took away your smell?
I think so.
No,
I think it took
on.
A lot of things
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Away. No, that's one thing I was able to stay pretty... I smoked for a while begrudgingly. Like, they always made me sick, but I smoked them anyway. there was something about... Just like a cigarette and a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's
I'm not a morning smoker guy, though.
Yeah.
I'm like a later in the day.
I get a little confused when I sit down with someone and they light up a cigarette because I just used... You don't see as many people smoking anymore. I think, wow, people still do that. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's
But it's ritual.
That's
it's a ritual. You know, it's like just... It's...
It's really frowned upon in society these days. It's like deep breaths really is what it is because that's one of the main things that someone told me one of the times I quit was like, hey, look, man, like you start feeling that thing, like take like a series of like deep breaths for, you know, count to five, breathing in, count to five, breathing out.
Yeah.
I also found out that that's how Navy SEALs fight panic attacks.
With breathing?
Because like when the shit goes down, like if you're in a situation where you have to do Navy SEAL shit, chances are you could really have a panic attack because it's freaky. And second of all, you cannot have a panic attack because you're a Navy SEAL. So this, I read this thing about this Navy SEAL. He told you how to get rid of a panic attack. He's like, dude, imagine us. We get them, but we can't have them. So we got it. Like, there's no choice. We have to get rid of it like that.
Yeah.
And it's just counting to 10, breathing in, and counting to 10, breathing out. for a long time.
Okay, so back to the EP. It's got that song, Soften Your Gaze. Yeah. It says, slow your breath and soften your gaze.
Yeah.
That's the thing I learned sort of in yoga was that people will say at the beginning of a session of a class, it's like, slow down, get into the moment. We talk a lot about the difference between a reaction and a response being three deep breaths.
Right.
And it's like, I think that's probably the hugest lesson that I learned. That and just the idea that any sort of feeling that you're having, an overwhelming feeling of like fear or loneliness or whatever, is just sort of passing through you.
Yeah.
And then if you wait and breathe, that it will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the smoking thing, and I didn't mean to make it sound like I was frowning on it. It just,
no, people do. They smoke. I smoke.
Well, yeah, people.
I've tried to quit a lot of times, and I'm going to quit.
Well,
it just takes a while.
Yeah, I mean, there are way worse things to do to yourself. Way worse things. Though someone did tell me that quitting smoking was harder than quitting heroin.
That's what they say.
And I think that
I've never tried to quit.
Because he quit both.
Heroin. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I need to talk to him because, okay. Well,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
No, it's, but maybe I'll start smoking.
What are you, Jamie Harris?
Is she a late bloomer?
Yeah, she's smoking now all of a sudden.
Oh, good for her.
And like she's one of those people, like, you know those people that like, oh no, now I'm smoking. Like, they're like trying to catch up. Like whatever they had missed. They're like, well, let's have a cigarette. You want to have a cigarette? Let's have a cigarette. You want to have a cigarette? I'm like, dude, man, I smoke like once every couple of hours maybe, you know.
That's how I am with cinnamon rolls.
That's, look out for that, man. You'll end up,
oh,
I got this way with cookies. One time I quit smoking, I was smoking weed. I thought if I smoked weed and ate popsicles, I would not want to smoke cigarettes, but I just gained like a weight, and then it's been a battle ever since because I'm now older and the weight doesn't go away like it did when you were young.
I lost 20 plus pounds, like 25 pounds pretty quickly.
From not drinking?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
And I kept, but I was eating, they tell you, eat all the sugar you want because your body is craving it.
Right.
And like, you know, there are worse things. And so I was eating cinnamon rolls and pie and ice cream every night before bed.
Yeah.
And then just about like 2 weeks ago, I looked down and saw my stomach's back.
Yeah.
But I don't worry about it.
Oh, that's good.
Because I can make it go away if I want. I can just decide to start exercising and eating better. It's real easy. So that's what I've learned in the last 6 months. All this shit is so easy.
Once you get past the first hurdle, you can...
Yeah. You just decide to do it, and you can.
Yeah.
That's simplification, but...
Like putting out an album.
Yes.
Little Feet. Shoot, it's Angus Clark.
Okay. Should you get it?
Should
do it.
No, I'm gonna call him right back.
Okay.
Because we're here, we're at the end, man.
Tell Angus that I said hello.
I will. Do you know Angus?
Nope.
Oh, he's a famous
Well, we've never met.
He's a shredder.
Okay.
But he lives in New York, NYC. He's an NYC shredder.
Angus, I feel
he's
like
even
a
in the house
name.
Band of, you know, Rock of Ages on Broadway, the musical.
Oh yeah,
the metal musical, like the hair metal musical.
Have you seen it?
I saw the movie.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to go see it one night because he was like, oh, I'm doing it tonight if you want to come. And I was like, I don't want to sit through the whole thing tonight.
Oh, man.
I had one last night in New York. I didn't want to spend it just sitting there watching Broadway people sing more than Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I needed a little more than that night.
I understand.
No offense to you, Angus. Angus has work for me, which is good.
You rock, Angus.
Keep it. Mike Schoenfeld. MLSCHO.com. Mulshow.
Mm-hmm.
Little Feet is the name of the EP. It's out Thursday, August 23rd. He's celebrating with a release show Thursday, August 23rd at Kitty Cohen's, where they have a lot of things going on and also a pool. So I can come there in my bathing suit. What time is this going to happen?
It's early, man, because the music's got to stop at 10. That's one of the reasons I chose it. I like to be done early.
Me too.
So we'll start, I'm calling it 8 is when the party starts.
Okay.
We'll start playing a little after that, but hopefully I can add more fun friends. We're not going to add a bunch of music, but I just want anybody who's got something they want to show off, I want them to bring it, because I like being inclusive. I want everyone to be able to celebrate themselves, and just, it's just about having a good time at this point. So.
Yeah, man. Mike Schoenfeld, Thursday, August 23rd, Kitty Cohen's, and also the release of Little Feet, the EP. Thanks for doing the show, man.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Great conversation. Mike Schoenfeld, his EP Little Feet comes out next Thursday, August 23rd. Find out more about him at mlscho.com. That's his website, okay? And his release show is Thursday, August 23rd at Kitty Cohen's here in Austin. It's an early show. Go to mlscho.com for more information on Mike Schoenfeld. Great, great, great talking to him. Great dude, great everything. All right, gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out Mike Schoenfeld online, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcast, on Stitcher, on Spotify, Android Podcast, Overcast, TuneIn, wherever it is that you get your podcast. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mike Schoenfeld. And don't forget, hey man, if you're out tonight in San Antonio, Skyrocket is playing tonight, August 17th. Friday, August 17th at Sam's Burger Joint. And if you're in Austin on Sunday, come on out to the benefit with the Drakes, right? Come on out. I'll be singing a couple Beatles songs. Not going to tell you what they are because they're good songs. And they're not ones you really be like, oh, that's the kind of songs I chose. Sunday night, 1-1 bar, 5-8. The Drakes play the Beatles. It's a benefit. Come on out, raising some money for some folks that need it. All right. Mike Schoenfeld. Release show next Thursday, August 23rd. Get out there and see it, all right? His new EP, Little Feet, will be out that same day. Go to mlscho.com for all of your Mike Schoenfeld needs. Thanks for coming on the show, Mike. Thank you for listening. And listen, gang, have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down. Back to Texas.